many people challenge Christians, and also God, with this very simple phrase, "If God is all good, why is there evil in the world?" And from there, try to discredit his sovereignty, or show he could not possibly exist because there's just so much evil in the world. But that's exactly the topic I want to address today. I want to show you what evil looks like, so you can point it out, you can name it, you can see it, but also recognize how God works, so we're clear about what he's doing and can see his grandeur and majesty. So first of all, how does the devil work? This is where we get very confused sometimes, because we limit him or make it very simplistic in what he does, and we don't see the grandeur of what he tries to do and how he seduces us. So the first way he seduces us is through temptations, and we all experience them. They can be anywhere from anger to lust to gluttony to pride, all these different things that keep our attention and turn us just slightly away from good things, or maybe even more than slightly. But they're all that twisting, and that's what we need to see. It's that twisting of good intentions into something bad, or twisting it to be about ourselves. And so temptations are actually the least important of them, because temptations are like dangling a carrot in front of you. They're easy to spot. They're easy to see. We can point them out. We can name them and say, there it is. There's a temptation. And therefore, they can easily be dismissed or ignored, and we can move on to something better. But that's just one of the ways the devil works. And to show you a lot more how he seduces us, I want to use chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. As we saw from the chapter before, we have the big dragon, big red dragon in the sky that breathes water. That's an easy thing to notice. That's like temptations. Everyone's going to see the dragon and go, that's clearly not God. But then, out of the abyss comes a different creature that has bear's legs, and it has the body of a leopard and the head of a lion. This very awe-inspiring creature with power and majesty and speed, all these things that are just so impressive in it. And we go, maybe that's God. Then on top of that, we add 7 heads and 10 horns and 10 diadems, showing it has the fullness of power and authority. It just radiates this power. We go, well, maybe that's God. But then one little detail sets it off. It speaks boastfully with blasphemous names written all over it. And anyone who's very attuned would notice really quickly that that is not God, that is the devil. And that's the way the devil works. He deceives us. His ultimate goal is to be so like God that we can't tell the difference and we're lost. We don't know what to do. We're completely deceived. And that's the challenge we have today, too. There are lots of deceptions in our world that have been a twisting away of all these good things we should have, but don't have, and therefore we fall away and don't seek God. Let me give you some examples. First one I want to talk about is fake news. Not that fake news itself is a problem. It's the ultimate conclusion that it draws that is the big problem. Because we read news or media or watch the news, whatever it might be, however we get our news, and we go, that doesn't sound right. I think they're lying to me. Well, if I can't trust them, I can't trust where they got their information. If I can't trust their information, how can I trust anyone in authority? And if I can't trust people in authority, maybe there's no truth. Maybe there's nothing true. And that's the great challenge, that from that very scary starting point of fake news, we get all the way to this conclusion that truth doesn't exist. That's the same challenge that Pilate had in today's gospel. Do I crucify this innocent man knowing that I'm shedding innocent blood? Or do I comply with the Jews and stop a coup that could cause problems for the Roman government? What do I do? And so he ends, which wasn't our reading, with what is truth? He's so lost in his thoughts that he can't find out what's the right way. That's the same challenge for us. That's the devil twisting things around so that we twist it away from God and the fullness of truth. The other way he twists things that we might not realize is he likes to twist things away from what is true. For instance, we have this sense that things can be evil. Things are not evil. What's evil is intentions, people's thoughts, the way people act. Actions are evil. So people like to say today, like, the vaccine is evil. Vaccines aren't evil, they're just things. Just like a chair or a house or a building, they're all things. What we do with it can be evil. So how we talk about it, or how we morph relationships, or how we see the world around us, that's where the evil is. So we have to be careful. We have to talk about how people are reacting, or what people are thinking, not about things themselves. Things aren't evil. The last way the devil tries to deceive us is he tries to back us into a corner and try to say to us, there's no other way. You have to comply with my will. And we see that in chapter 13 as well. The beast rises from the abyss and says to the world, worship me or you will die. If you don't have my mark on your forehead or hand, you can't engage in any commerce. You can't buy, you can't sell, you are stuck. You are now so stuck, you have to comply with my will. And we go, what? That can't be. Now the challenge is, for us today, that's not absent. A lot of us may feel as Christian people that as the world shifts away from our morality, we're stuck in that we can't buy or sell things from companies that don't agree with our way of seeing things. That's not true. There's always a way out. We're never fully stuck. We're never fully backed into a corner. God always finds a way. And for that reason, I want to transition to talk about how God works. Because one of the things that's so shocking about the book of Revelation is that God had planned everything. He had so perfectly planned the entirety of world order that the devil cannot win. He allows him to have the deception. He allows him to go up to the point of mimicking God almost. There's always one thing to look for, and there's a reason for that. The reason why evil is so pernicious and so blatant is so that we may know the difference and choose rightly. Because what God wants us to have above everything else is free will. And that's the ability to choose the good. He wants us to choose the good. And so he leaves both options available to us. He shows us the fullness of what evil looks like, what the devil can do, and he shows us the fullness of what he can do, so that we may choose, ideally, him, and not choose ourselves. But from free will comes love. And if we choose him, we love him. And that's the ultimate goal. That's why all this stuff still exists, that we may actually choose and choose rightly. And the devil may try to deceive us with fake news and whatnot, but God is the fullness of truth, always allowing a way for us to understand truth and find it. That is our ultimate quest, to really seek truth, and in doing so, seek God. It's very simple. We have to decide who we trust and why. Not just that we trust. We can always just choose someone and say, that's the truth and I'm done. That's not really truth either. Truth has to be founded on something, something that we can all agree upon. So we may have an expert, and there's an expert in their field, but that does not mean they're right. What we have to say is, why are you right? Where are your facts? Where are the things you've experimented or thought of and done that we can go back and say, is that true? To the point where I should believe you. We all must do this. It's a huge, lengthy process, but it's very important. Because our goal is not just to believe stuff, but find ultimate truth. Find God, who tells us there is something true out there. And lastly, God doesn't want us backed in a corner. He will always provide a way for doing good. Always. There's always a way. The best example is when we thought we had crucified God and killed him, he rose from the dead. By doing so, had completely reshaped the entire order of the cosmos. Now death does not reign. We don't have to be afraid of death. There's always, it'll be resurrection. There'll be new life. He opened up a brand new way to completely shatter what the devil had done. There's always a way. So we should believe that. But that's a challenge. Do we really believe that God is sovereign, that he rules, that he has everything under control? It's easy for us to fall back and see all the evil and chaos of the world and say, nope, clearly he doesn't have this. That's not the way we act as people of faith. We need to see that God is acting, even in subtle, simple ways, always asking us to turn to him. And when we do, he sets everything aright. So we have to ask ourselves whether we believe that. Do we really believe that God is in control? Do we really believe he is so in control that he'll take care of all these problems? Do we believe that if we turn to him in fullness of faith and say, Lord, you take care of my problem, that he will solve it in the best way he knows? Because that's where we are today. We need to believe in him again and not be so caught up by the things of the world that we turn away from him, but realize that all those things are about to die. All of them are going to go away. New life will come. God will reign, and everything will be set aright once again.